Hello and welcome to our Bible study night. Tonight we're starting a new Bible study on the book of Nehemiah. So our first study is an introduction to the whole book. The Bible reading is from the book of Nehemiah, chapter 1. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, and it came to pass in the month Kislu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan the palace, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, The remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept, and mourned certain days, and fasted, and prayed before the God of heaven. And said, I beseech you, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God, that keeps covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let your ear now be attentive and your eyes open, that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now, day and night, for the children of Israel, your servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against you. Both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against you, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments, which you commanded your servant Moses. Remember, I beseech you, the word that you command your servant Moses, saying, If you transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if you turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out unto the uttermost part of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence, and I will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Now these are your servants and your people, whom you have redeemed by your great power and by your strong hand. O Lord, I beseech you, let now your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant, and to the prayer of your servants who desire to fear your name. And prosper, I pray you, your servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man. For I was the king's cupbearer.
May the Lord bless the reading of his word to us this morning. And I just want to make a couple of observations, that's all, as we just look at this first chapter of Nehemiah, and only a couple of observations, really. First of all, let us think about the situation of Nehemiah, where he was. Nehemiah was very comfortably off. He was in with the king, as it were. He was the king's cupbearer. Now, you see, the Israelites had suffered as a result of their disobedience. And they were in captivity, or they had been in captivity, in Babylon. And then as Babylon had fallen to the Medes and the Persians, they had then come under the control of the Persians. But there had been a return. Isaiah had prophesied concerning Cyrus, whom God referred to as his anointed, because there was something for Cyrus to do in the purposes and in the counsel of God. And in the time of Cyrus, people had returned to the land of promise, to the land of Israel. And we read in the scripture how that under the hand of Zerubbabel, the temple had been rebuilt, and the people at the time had experienced great opposition from those that, on the face of it, seemed to worship God. They had been, some of those who had been left behind and had mixed with those in the land, and because they were not of pure seed, their offers to help had been resisted, and people had got disheartened, and they'd settled down in their own houses, and they'd appointed themselves nice houses really to live in, and it needed a word from God to get them into action again in the time of Haggai, the prophet. And he said to them the words, Is it time for you to dwell in your panelled houses, and this house, the house of the Lord, lie waste? Is it time for you to think about your accommodation and your comfort and your ease when the things of God are being left neglected and the people had been spoken to by God and had been spurred into action? And in the time of Zechariah as well, there were prophecies given concerning the way that the Lord would prosper that work. And then Ezra had returned, and then Nehemiah. And Ezra, of course, was concerned with the teaching of the Word of God, that the people should know the Word of God. And as you read on through the book of Nehemiah, you'll find how that Ezra taught the people of God, and how the priests fulfilled their ministry of teaching the people God's Word, and therefore God's will and God's purposes, and what God required. Now Nehemiah returned a little bit later after Ezra, not very long after, and in the time of Nehemiah, the walls of Jerusalem were restored and rebuilt. So those things which God had purposed concerning Jerusalem, concerning Zion, were accomplished. Nehemiah was the king's cupbearer, but he was concerned for the people of God. And he was concerned for the things of God. It would have been very easy for Nehemiah to think, well, I've got it made. Why should I worry about what happens there, 1,000-odd miles away, with the people of God? I'm okay. I can worship God in my own way. I've got a good job. I've got all the comforts and the luxuries that I need here. Why should I worry? But Nehemiah didn't. And Nehemiah, in the end, returns to the land of promise. I say return because he had never been there. But return in the sense that the people of God had returned to the place where God had promised them. And Nehemiah made that journey of faith. And it was a journey of faith. He left what could have been his in terms of worldly riches and wealth and comfort. And he identified himself and threw in his lot with the people of God, because he was one of God's people. Hallelujah. I think the job that he had is a good illustration of what happens, or what can happen to us, if we cling to the things of this world, and if we cling to the things that this world offers. He was the king's cupbearer. Before the king drank the wine, Nehemiah drank it. What for, you ask? If anybody had been nobbling the wine to get at the king, who got it first? Nehemiah would, because he was there. One of his functions, one of his jobs as the king's cupbearer, would be to make sure that the wine was not poisoned. Now that is something very instructive to us. Because if we throw our lot in with the things of the world and the comforts and the luxuries of the world, we are also putting ourselves in a position where we are in danger of going down with the things of the world, of falling with the things of the world, of being poisoned by the things of this world. I believe that Nehemiah chose to identify himself with God's people for a number of reasons, which we see in chapter 1 here. And the first thing I want to bring to your attention is that Nehemiah was a man who knew God's word. And that is very important for us too today. You see, the people of God, whilst the temple had been rebuilt and whilst they were becoming aware of the word of God, they seemed to be defenceless. The news came back to Nehemiah that the walls were broken down, the gates burned with fire, there was no defence, there was no protection, and he was grieved that the people of God were under constant attack and constant affliction. But Nehemiah was a person who knew God's word. And because he knew God's word, he was eventually brought to that position of making the journey of faith and moving out in faith. We need to know God's word. These are days, in fact, in which we may wonder where some of the walls that God has provided for us have gone to. They may, as it were, have been destroyed, and gates have been broken down and burned down. I'm talking about the professing church. Bit by bit, some of the strong holds and the protections that God has provided for us, it seems as though the professing church is breaking them down. It's not as if the enemy is breaking them down from the outside. It seems as though often the professing church is breaking them down from the inside. We see terrible things as the professing church begins to deny the word of God. I was reading only recently, this last week, of various church organisations in America, and it's the same thing here really, but making a public stand, church organisations making a public stand to condone homosexuality and to promote homosexual Christianity. There's no such thing But nevertheless, that's what they're promoting. We are breaking, or not we, but the professing church, rather, is breaking down the very strongholds of the Word of God. Now, of course, that which God builds cannot be destroyed, but they are trying to break down the Word of God. They are standing against, if you can believe it, the Word of God. That which the Word of God condemns, they allow and permit and sanction. That which the Word of God says we should do, they say we shouldn't do. You should not stand against homosexuality, they say, or homosexual practices. You should not stand against abortion. You should not stand against all the ways in which the biblical standards of family and marriage are being broken down. You should not stand against them. You must move with the times and change with the times. I tell you, if we drink of that cup, we're going to drink a cup of poison, and we're going to fall. And I say, it's the same in this country. Maybe we don't see church organisations like the Baptist Church. And I mean, these organisations that I'm talking about in America are organisations of the so-called free church, or what we would call the free church. We seem to have come to expect it of some Church of England ministers nowadays. Praise God that there are brethren in the United States who stand against these corruptions of the Word of God, and publicly so. Let us be men and women of the Word of God. I know that Word of God. Nehemiah knew the Word of God. And as we read through chapter 1, it became very evident that he knew the Word of God. And that's one of the reasons why Nehemiah could move in the way that he did, because he knew God's Word. And this is a precious word, you know. As we read through the Old Testament, I rejoice to see that it's God's Word is often associated with people being restored, of being brought back to the place where God wanted them to be. You know, in Josiah's time, when they found the scroll of the law in the temple and they brought it out and they read it, and there was conviction because they realized that this which they had neglected for so long spoke to them of their shortcomings and their failure, and there was a desire immediately to be right with God and to get things back to what they should be again. And when they came back from the captivity, what is it that brings them back to trusting God and doing God's will? It's the Word of God, which is read to them publicly. And as they hear the Word of God being read, the immediate effect is repentance. Lord, we've sinned, and we want to get right with you. And you know, as we meditate daily upon the Word of God and feed upon it, it has that effect upon us. It purifies us. Hallelujah. There is that effectual, there is that constant and effectual attitude of repentance in our hearts and our souls, that we should never look to what the flesh can do, but that we should always be looking to Him. And the Word of God is so instructive to us in that way, isn't it? Because it always draws our attention to Him. It shows us how vile and sinful and how helpless the flesh is continually. And it draws our attention to Him, to the Lord, that we should serve only Him. Hallelujah. As you know, I believe it's because Nehemiah knew the Word of God that not only was he right with God and in that right place with God and that right attitude with God, but he also had a love for the people of God as well. And he had a concern for them. And I believe that too, as we meditate upon God's Word, it will not only draw us close to the Lord and draw our gaze to Him, and our faith and our trust will be strongly anchored in Him, but I believe it will also build up in us a love and a concern for the people of God. And maybe with Nehemiah, we will be able to see the people of God. We'll see they're under attack. They're under attack. Their defences are being ripped away. What can we do to minister to the people of God, that those defences can be built up and restored again? What can we do to minister that Word of God to one another, that those strongholds may be built up around us? And Nehemiah, because he was a man of the Word of God, he was also a man who was concerned about the people of God. And I believe that in being concerned about the people of God, he was also, and being a man of the Word, he was also sensitive to the moving of the Holy Spirit of God in his heart and in his life. That was why Nehemiah, when he heard the report which came back from the land of promise, he sat down in verse 4 and he wept. And he mourned certain days, and he fasted and prayed. He was overcome with grief. Now, why was he overcome with grief? Because these people were far away from him. Why should he be overcome with grief for a group of people, many of whom he may never have seen? It's because the Holy Spirit was moving in his heart. And I believe that as we are men and women of the Word of God, and as we see what is happening day by day, as we see the conflict, as we see the way in which the enemy works in our day and in our age, we should have a concern for the people of God. We will be in tune with God. And that is why Nehemiah wept and mourned and grieved. Because he was in tune with God. But you know, when the people of God are being afflicted, God says in his word that he is being afflicted. He said, in all their affliction, I was afflicted. God bears with us in all the struggle, in all the trial that we may have to go through. You know, when we're in tune with God, we're in tune with all those things too. Just as Nehemiah was in tune with God, he knew the feelings and the infirmities of God's people. And therefore he was in a position to pray and to intercede with God. And so I believe that Nehemiah, in being a man of the word, was also a man of the spirit, who knew the mind of God and who knew the feelings of God by the Holy Spirit. You know, as people who rejoice in that wonderful baptism in the Holy Spirit and that fullness of the Holy Spirit, we rejoice in that which God has given and poured out. Let us know that if we are people of the Word of God who meditate and love the Word of God and feed upon it, we shall also be people of the Spirit. I don't think you can divorce the two. I think there is a move in that direction these days where people want to be people of the Spirit, but they don't want to be people of the Word of God. And I don't think you can be. I think you can be a people of emotion, maybe, but you can't be a person of the Spirit without being a person of the Word of God too. Because the Holy Spirit of God is the one who inspired, who breathed this precious word, that men should write it down. For no scripture is of any private interpretation. It is God breathed. It is of his Holy Spirit. And I believe that the Holy Spirit will use and minister to us that which he has inspired, that which he has breathed, that which he has brought here, that we may indeed be people of the Spirit. So as we are feeding and meditating on the Word, we're actually breathing in of the things of God. We are breathing the atmosphere of the Holy Spirit. Praise his name. That we might move in his power and in his strength. He was sensitive, you see. Jesus wept over Jerusalem, you remember? He wept over Jerusalem because they had rejected him. There is a Psalm 126, which is closely associated with the exile of the people of God. And it says, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goes forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Nehemiah knew that time of weeping, but that time of weeping for him also became a time of sowing the precious seed of the Word of God. And that time must also have culminated for Nehemiah when he saw the results of the people being strengthened, of the walls being built again. It must have culminated in a time of joy, of reaping in joy. Hallelujah. Let us also be filled with the Spirit, be sensitive to the moving of the Holy Spirit. Well, Nehemiah was also a man of prayer. And we know how important prayer is. But his prayer, you'll notice, is firmly based upon the Word of God. Again, we're looking at something which is very important here. We're homing in again on the Word of God. Because it's from the Word of God that he is able to pray the prayer of faith. And that's what we need to pray. We have lots of requests, and the Lord says, bring your requests to me. We have lots of things to ask God, but we need to pray the prayer of faith. We need to know that which is the will of God. Because when we ask God for what is his will, then we're asking in faith. If we're not certain whether something is the will of God, we can pray and we can ask, but it's only when we know it's his will that we pray the prayer of faith. Because we can only have faith when we know that something is according to God's will. So let us know his will. And how do we know his will? Well, Nehemiah knew God's will because of his word. Now the Bible tells us quite clearly in Peter that we who are born again, who are redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have exceeding great and precious promises given to us. Exceeding great and precious promises given to us. And we are assured in the word of God that every promise is yes and amen, is absolutely certain and assured in Jesus Christ. Bless God. You know, as we meditate upon the word of God, we become familiar with and know and plant in our hearts those precious promises, those exceeding great and precious promises. And we can pray the prayer of faith and we can possess the promises. Look at Nehemiah here praying. Even though he is grief-stricken over the condition of the people of God, he praises God. Now that's wonderful. Praise is powerful, you see. When we know the will of God, it doesn't matter whether we have now the answer that we need. When we know the will of God, and when we know his goodness toward us, we can praise him. We can magnify his name. And our lives should be full of praise. Hallelujah. I know it's easy to say when everything's going well and it's sort of nice warm weather and all seems well with the world. But our lives, according to the word of God, should be full of praise to magnify his name. We mentioned Jehoshaphat last week. What was he faced with? He was faced with an enemy that he couldn't possibly defeat in human terms. The people that were his people were full of fear, presumably, because of the vastness and the greatness of the enemy. Not just one, but three, I think, different groups of people gathering together, closing in on Jerusalem. What did Jehoshaphat do? He got to know the word of God. He got to know the mind of God. He got to know the will of God. And what was he instructed to do? He was instructed to stand still and see the salvation of God. He was instructed to go forward and fight? No. To praise God. And they praised. And they glorified God. And as they praised God, the enemy began fighting amongst themselves and began to destroy each other. And there was a great victory. Who won the victory? God gave them the victory, you see. But they praised God. And Nehemiah praises God. He praises the God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keeps covenants and mercies for them that love him and observe his commandments. He's a merciful God. Praise his name. There is repentance in the prayer. You'll have noticed that he confesses not only the sins of the people, they've sinned, but he puts himself first. I and my fathers have sinned. There is awareness of failing all round. But you know, this is the tremendous thing about this prayer. The prayer that Nehemiah brings before God, as he brings his request before God, it's based upon what God has promised. And if we make our prayer life based upon what God has promised, then we cannot fail. We cannot fail to receive what God has promised if we are assured in our hearts. Nehemiah looked at the people of God. He looked at himself. And he says, what a miserable lot we are. We don't deserve anything. We have sinned. We've corrupted everything that you've given us. But, and that's wonderful. Verse 8. This is the tremendous thing. But, remember, I beseech thee, the word that you commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you transgress, I will scatter you. But, here's the but, there is a but, verse 9, but, if you turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though you were, there were of you cast out to the uttermost part of heaven, doesn't matter how far you've been cast out, but I will gather you from thence and bring you to the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Oh, says Nehemiah, Lord, you've promised, no matter how far we were cast away from you, if we turn again, if we repent, if we put our trust in you, you've promised. It's in your word, Lord. It's here in Deuteronomy. It's here. You've promised it. Lord, I'm asking. I'm bringing my request before you. And you know, we can be people of prayer like that too. And it doesn't matter how low we may feel we have sunk in our spiritual lives. We can say, Lord, you know what we're like. You know that we're frail flesh, but you've promised in your word, if we turn, if we come in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will not turn us away. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. And that's encouraging, you see. That's encouraging. Because it's a word to everybody. Some of us may feel rather weak in our faith and in what we can do spiritually. But when we get to the promises of God, it's being built not on what we are, but on what He is. It's built upon Him. And we can become powerful in prayer. Not because this week we have done lots of things, we have fasted and given and we've not told any lies and we have, you know, we've witnessed to 3 dozen people or something like that, therefore our prayers must be effective. Our prayers will be effective because they're based upon the promises of God and upon His word. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. And as a result of that, Nehemiah was able to move in faith. And it was a move in faith that Nehemiah made, because he went into the king to make a request. And just as we saw in the time of Esther, kings could be rather fickle people. See it in the time, quite often in the Bible, don't you? It just depends what mood they're in, what side of the bed they got out in the morning. They might say off with his head, or they might say, Prime Minister, for you. Seems strange, doesn't it, that people could be so fickle, but they were. Depending on how grumpy they were. Nehemiah trusted God, just as Esther trusted God when she went into the king. Nehemiah trusted God, and God opened the way and made it possible for him to make the request and to make the journey back to his people, a journey of faith. He moved in faith. We want to be people that move in faith. To do that which perhaps the world would say with a word of caution, all, do you think that's wise? Do you think that's the right thing to do? We can move in faith and do that which we know God wants us to do. I pray, trust and pray that Nehemiah will be an encouragement to us. We can see what he could have been, but he turned his back on it. We can see how he made himself a man, and he was a man of the word of God. He was a man of the spirit. He was a man of prayer that prevailed because it was based upon the word of God. And he was a man that was able to move in faith, just as we can. Just as we can. Because God is no respecter of persons. If we put our trust in him and not in ourselves, we too may move in that way. Amen.
Well, that's all for tonight. And so we invite you to join us again next week for study number 2 in the book of Nehemiah. In the meantime, we look forward to seeing you on Thursday for our prayer meeting. Meet you then.